Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You know, Sue, I don't do a lot of country bumps, not because I don't like country. Yesterday I used George Strait, and that was for
you
because you love George Strait. But this is Miranda Lambert. I love this song, Holy Water. And here's what I'd say to the audience, because I put all these Spotify lists together. I even had a friend of mine from Chicago that said that he was doing this the other day. If you just want a good blend of music, it could be some alternative classic rock, a little bit of country. If you pop on my bumper music list at the end of the show, I post it usually by just around 6 o'clock. On Spotify. You press that if you have that as your service, or just download the songs on your service, and I think you'll enjoy the mix, because it truly is a mix, and I have fun putting it together. So there you go, Miranda Lambert for today. Sue's News is coming up in about, I'd say, 15 minutes. I mentioned this yesterday. There was a great set of reporting in, there were like 5 different reporters who wrote about this Ukraine drone attack on Russia's bomber fleet on Sunday. They did a great job breaking it down. It reads like a movie script. I instantly thought of General Keith Kellogg, who's with us this afternoon, retired general, special presidential envoy to Ukraine, the author of War of Other by Other Means. General Kellogg, welcome back. How are you this afternoon? Great to have you back, by the way.
Mark, I'm good, and thanks for having me. It's always good to be with you. Thank you, sir.
So, I mentioned the story yesterday. I talked about it quite a bit, but this is pretty crazy what they were able to do. And they talk about this guy, Lieutenant General Vasyl Malyuk, and maybe that's not how you pronounce his name, but he's a guy who's only, you know, been in the military. He's got a career for 42 years, and he puts this project together, and they pull it off in amazing fashion, don't they?
Yeah. You know, Mark, remember, Malyuk is, he's Ukraine's equivalent of John Ratcliffe, director of the CIA. Those two are like partners, and that's kind of his relationship. And he put it together. It took about a year and a half to do it. And you have to quit the planning and where the targets are, what you're going to do, and then how you achieve it. So it was really fairly well done when you think about it. It's a pretty bold move. It's an audacious move. But, you know, every age has its own style of war. And right now the style of war happens to be drones. And to do what he did, you know, let's take your hat off to him. Give him a lot of credit. That was not easily done. It was not easily planned. It was a tremendous execution. And, you know, good for them. You know, Zelensky said he didn't have a lot of cards. Well, he really does.
Well, apparently he does. But I want you to explain what happened here, because when I was going over this yesterday and the way that the Wall Street Journal reported it, look, you have bombers that launch a lot of the most powerful missiles. They operate well beyond the range of the air defense systems, right? So maybe 3,000 miles from Ukraine in some instances. So Malyuk comes up with this plan, and he goes in, and it's essentially like a Trojan horse situation, right? How did he do this?
Yeah, well, what he did is, when you look at the drones, they call them FPV, first point of view. When you best you launch them, you can either launch them like GPS coordinates on board the aircraft, or you can actually fly them, and you can fly them by using cell towers, or it's telephone lines, telephone cell towers, to do that. So that you can actually have pilots back in Kyiv flying the drones all the way in to the target. And they were able to put like a Trojan horse with the vehicles, and they built the system. So they were contract vehicles driven by Russians. They drove them like to a truck stop. And you see like truck stops all over America. Mm-hmm. You get a truck stop close to the airbase, park the vehicle, and then electronically you open the top of the vehicle and the drones fly out and they were able to go target the aircraft.
And the drivers didn't know that they were in the trucks, right? They kind of are just doing their gig as a truck driver, but then all of a sudden the roofs of the wooden containers open and boom, they start, you know, dropping bombs on some of these air bases.
Yeah, they apparently the drivers didn't know anything about them. They were Russian drivers, Russian trucks, and they were contracted out. And any of the Ukrainians that were on part of the mission, they got back to Ukraine before the attack went on. So it was pretty, but you're right about a Trojan horse. That's exactly what they had.
One of the things that I think surprised me when I was reading the story yesterday, General Kellogg, is that the drones themselves cost about $2,000 each. That's kind of crazy when you think about the extent of the attack that they were able to pull off, isn't it?
Well, when you can consider drones doesn't cost that much and you're taking out bombers that cost you $300-$500 million, it's a pretty significant cost trade-off. You got that. And here's what, and I know your audience would know this, is when you think about it, most of our kids, I know my two boys who've got drones, they fly them all the time when we're down at our beach house. So it's not that it's difficult to fly those drones. It's really not. And you've got, we've actually had drone pilots that do that in the Air Force. And that's what they do. They fly these drones, the big drones, and they attack targets. So it's not like, because that part of the sophistication isn't hard. It was the ability to put them together in a vehicle, transport vehicle, and move them to a location close, a truck stop close to an airbase.
So Ukraine says that they damaged 41 warplanes valued at $7 billion at four bases. The Wall Street Journal did great work here. They were showing some of the satellite imagery. They did indicate that some of the claims that the Ukrainians made were not necessarily something they can confirm yesterday or in the moment. Maybe by this time they have. But what's your assessment of how much damage was inflicted by these attacks, and why is it important in, you know, the context of this conflict?
Well, I think the... it's about 30% of their bomber fleet that they took out. And the issue that everybody needs to understand is, you know, we have a nuclear triad, and so do the Russians. That are your bombers, your subs, and your missile fleets. And that was just, you know, the bombers are part of their nuclear triad. So 30% of their bomber fleet has been damaged. That's pretty significant. You think about that in the United States. What if we lost 30% of our B-1s and B-2s?
Yeah.
That would be in the B-52s. That would be pretty significant. So in that regard, it was a wake-up call to the Russians as well.
Yeah, but President Trump says he talks to Putin. He's talking about some of this stuff with Iran, which is very important in the whole scheme of the world, not just the countries between the United States and Russia. And he says, I got to respond to this. So in my mind, not being a military expert like you, I'm thinking, like you just offered the example, if that happened to us, well, we would strike ferociously and very quickly. Couldn't the Russians just respond and just squish them like a bug at this point or not?
I think what they're going to do is, I'm pretty sure, and you heard that when President Trump talked about it, I think you can have to put a retaliation in the back of your mind, and that's probably going to occur, you know, with the next 24 to 48 hours.
Right.
And then the Russians have to decide what do they want to retaliate on. And the thing, Mark, is you're now on an escalation ladder. And when you get on an escalation ladder in national security, make sure you know the rung you're going to get off on. Because you don't want to take it to the final conclusion. So right now they're on an escalation ladder. So it depends what the Russians do, how many rungs up the escalation ladder they're going to climb, and then how do you get off it?
Well, that's my question to you. How do you get off it? I mean, is there a situation, I think a lot of people have said, and I've said this before when it comes to the aid to Ukraine, it didn't seem like it is a winnable war against Russia. Does this make it more seem like it's a winnable war for Zelensky?
Well, I think it gives him a lot more options, and that's what you want to do. And you want to bring it to a point where the risk profile is high and you make sure that the pain level is high enough that one of the sides wants to quit. You know, President Trump the other day, he actually said it today on TV, too, if you listen to him. But he talked about, and I always do this, you know, it's, you know, if you go to a hockey game, like you go to St. Louis Blues or somebody like that, you know, if there's a fight on the ice and they drop gloves, what happens is the ref always waits till one of them goes to the ice, and then he jumps in and starts to separate him. You know, maybe that's where we're at. Maybe you want to both, if you want to keep killing yourselves, fine. But it'll reach a point where it basically tell both sides, when you get tired of killing each other, give us a call. You got
right.
my phone number.
Yeah, and I did hear him say that. In fact, I'm going to let you go, and I really appreciate you coming on here. I've missed you quite a bit, and I know you're real busy in your role. But I did hear the analogy that he offered, and I think it's on point here this afternoon. So, General Keith Kellogg, thank you so much for coming on this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Available anytime, buddy.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. He's been great to us over the years, actually. So let me play the soundbite that he's sort of referring to, and he was talking about Putin this morning.
Something happened a couple of days ago, and now they do a return, and, you know, here it goes. It's not good. He's unhappy about it. I'm unhappy about it. But I think eventually we're going to be successful in stopping the bloodshed. It's pure bloodshed. 5,000-6,000 young soldiers a week are being killed.
One of the things that he has emphasized is we got to stop the killing, right? Stop the killing. Think about all these young men and women, I'm sure, who are just being killed. So here's the analogy.
Sometimes you see two young children fighting like crazy. They hate each other and they're fighting in a park. And you try and pull them apart. They don't want to be pulled. Sometimes you're better off letting them fight for a while and then pulling them apart. And I gave that analogy to Putin yesterday. I said, President, maybe you're going to have to keep fighting and suffering a lot because both sides are suffering before you pull them apart, before they're able to be pulled apart. But it's a pretty known analogy. You have two kids, they fight. Sometimes you let them fight for a little while. You see it in hockey, you see it in sports. The referees let them go for a couple of seconds, let them go for a little while before you pull them apart. And maybe, and I said it, and maybe that's a negative because we're saying go, but a lot of bad blood. There's some bad blood.
The problem, I think the analogy works, but the problem is that in the meantime, a lot of people are getting killed. So he was asked specifically, is there a deadline for Putin here?
When I see the moment when we're not going to make a deal, when this thing won't stop,
is there a deadline?
If that moment... Yeah, it's in my brain, the deadline.
Okay, and that's what he said about that. Now, his brain is probably full of other things because of this battle with Elon Musk that's going on today, and we'll get you updated on that as we move along the show. We got Sue's News coming up. We'll lighten the load and maybe put us in a better mood with Sue coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, a lot of craziness here today with Elon Musk and President Trump on True Social and the platform that Elon owns, X. We kind of chronicled it at the beginning of the show. Let me, before Sue's News, just pass one more thing along, because Derek Thompson, who's a reporter, he does some work at The Atlantic. He's actually one of the guys I like out there. He says, 4 p.m., what if Trump just, like, deported? He says 10,000 jokes out there on social media. What if Trump just, like, deported Elon for spite? By 4:39, this is Eastern, Steve Bannon. I am of the strong belief that Musk is an illegal alien and should be deported from the country immediately. So hang on for the ride. This one's only going to get more interesting, but we got to do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, it's National Hot Air Balloon Day. Have you been up in one ever, Fred?
No.
Mark?
I've been up twice.
Oh, my gosh.
I went up in one in Columbia, Missouri 30-something years ago. Maybe at this point it's 40 years ago because I'm getting so old. And at that time, I told people that you should put it on your bucket list because
really?
It was so much fun. They used to have a festival in Columbia. I think it's Albuquerque where they do a real big festival. And then right at the end of Wehrenberg Theaters, they had the big popcorn balloon. Remember that
one?
Oh,
yeah.
I got invited to take a flight in the popcorn balloon. And the thing that I remember about that, I've shared this story. We flew over the part of Fenton, which is now developed, but it was, you know, all concrete in the aftermath of the Chrysler plant.
Oh,
and my takeaway from that, because it was a great flight, but my takeaway is, oh my gosh, this is so sad that all that property is just sitting there. Now, in the last 5 years, it's been developed. You got an Amazon warehouse there. You have a lot of other things, Lore distributing. But it is something that you should put on your list because it's magical being up there in the sky, just floating around.
Does that not freak you out a little bit? You're in a basket?
No. Here's what freaks you out just a little bit. The landing can be a little bit rough, you know, because you're not just coming down like a helicopter and it's all stable. So I remember the first time in Columbia, we kind of landed near a creek or a pond or something like that. And, you know, you just kind of have to hang on because the basket rumbles around a little bit. But it was a blast. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Here's Gaffigan's view. Jim Gaffigan went up and he did a little bit about it. We'll see.
Now, I've never assembled a hot air balloon, and from what I observed, neither had any employee. I assumed eventually there'd be a safety briefing. There'd have to be a safety briefing. There was never a safety briefing.
Yeah.
And like the sheep we are, we just start walking towards the balloon. But nothing about a hot air balloon ride is logical. The balloon the size of a building, an enormous Easter basket, and a blowtorch.
Basically.
We eventually reached the basket of our balloon. By the way, it was a physical basket made of wicker. Wicker!
It's true, too.
You know that stuff that can barely carry your laundry? It was supposed to cart my fat ass through the sky. We eventually landed in an empty soccer field. We sat there for like 10 minutes. And then this guy in this tiny car drove up, beeped his horn. We got in. He drove away. Then I was like, I don't even know if he's with the balloon company.
You know, for me, though, he's right. There was no safety. They just said
they just
on the landing, like,
kind of
grab it hard, you know, stay stable during the landing. And I was up in the Wehrenberg one. It was just me and the pilot. It was just two people. And then, you know, there's a chaser, and they do this with the balloon festival here. Somebody chases and tries to figure out where you're going to land, and the landing depends on the wind, right? So you're not exactly sure where you're going to land,
Fred,
but you communicate.
Would you go up?
No.
Yeah. Ethan?
You really wouldn't?
Are you going up in the wicker?
Absolutely.
You wouldn't do it either?
No, I would.
Absolutely. Good.
I don't know. I'm torn. I don't mind being in a helicopter or an airplane, but sometimes being out in the breeze will kind of freak me out.
I thought a helicopter would. I mean, I just went in Alaska, and it was great. It was like the smoothest thing ever.
It's enclosed and smooth.
Yeah, so maybe I would do a balloon.
But that bit is so on target. I'm glad you played it. I'd never heard Jim Gaffigan on that, but he nails it there. I mean,
that's
it's
so
wicker.
Funny.
It's like an Easter basket. Really, it is.
My neighbor who moved to New Mexico say that they drive down the street. One, you know, because people balloon out there so much because it's wide open country. He took a picture the other day of just one landing two houses down.
They balloon.
They just come down.
That's what they do. It's
the hobby
yes,
out.
It's a bird.
You know, I don't think, I know horses do not like the hot air balloons because of the noise they make. I don't think the cattle respond very well to them. So there are some things that the pilots know that they shouldn't maybe, you know, because they have to hit the blaster. I'll just call it the blaster.
So that works
right?
for me.
Yeah, exactly.
On this day in history, since we haven't had music yet, let's have a little. In 1965, this song was released by the Rolling Stones.
I just can't get no Sue. 1965, the year of my birth. Yeah,
there you go.
How about that?
And my dad's.
And your dad's. Wow, I feel great here, Ethan. Really? I'm your dad's age?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I ever knew that until
Listen,
now.
To be grateful, it's not worse. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you, Sue. That's a good point, too.
Yeah, so this was 60 years ago today. What is the 60th anniversary? It's not golden. What is it, Fred? You know?
No, I don't.
What
it's
do you
olden.
Get for a... Yeah, well, there you
I
go.
I don't know either.
There was a story out yesterday I didn't get to, and it's very interesting. It's our need for power, electrical power, to store the huge amounts of data we now have is growing. So companies like Meta, which own Facebook and Instagram, are thinking about the future and how to handle it. The story is that in June of 2027, Meta will begin buying nuclear power from a Constellation energy plant in Illinois. And this marks the beginning of a 20-year deal. They want clean energy, and they need a lot of it. So imagine the amount of energy companies like Google and Meta need just for
storage. It's astounding.
Well, and then now with AI,
that's
I think
right.
it's...
That was going to be my point, because when we had George Rosenthal on recently, he pointed that out. That's
yes.
why some of the green energy stuff is just nuts. And they've tried to highlight that in some of the bills, and apparently Elon did not take well to that. I don't even know who to believe on that, but there is going to be a major demand. That's why when I, you know, when I was in Greece that first day, and I don't even know how much it was covered over here, if you guys talked about it, there was a major power outage all across Spain
yes.
and Portugal, and they had just declared victory. Like, they took a victory lap literally 3 days before that about how they kind of separated from carbon energy, and all of a sudden, boom, the lights go out.
Okay, yeah, that's great. And that's going to happen again, and that's why they see the writing on the wall. They're going to take everything that this output will give, and they're not going to juice directly into Meta. They'll do it in the region, and then they'll get it from that. Because I thought, well, are they plugging it all into them? Nope, it'll be regional, and then they get it.
I think we've made a big mistake by not focusing more on nuclear energy in the past several decades. And now you get to a point where it's too late, and what do you do? And you got all these windmills everywhere. Billy Bob Thornton in the TV show Landman makes a great point, because there's a scene that is involving, it's an oil company show, right? So there's a scene that involves all these windmills, and he's like, you know how much energy it takes just to clean those things out and do stuff like that? You're
yes.
still using energy to do that, right?
It's just so dumb. All right, I've got the Forbes released their 2025 list of the country's 100 richest self-made women. You have to go down to number 13 to get the first one that we would recognize, and that's Oprah. $3.1 billion. Kim Kardashian at 19 with $1.7 billion. T. Swifty, $1.6 billion. Madonna is all the way down at 42.
Is her face at number 48 or 49?
No.
Or is she still?
But she only has 850 million. It's just a shame.
Oh, who's at the top, Jeez. Though?
That was it. Oprah Winfrey is the highest. Oh, the top woman is not a celebrity. It's
right.
a woman named Diane Hendricks. She does building supplies in Wisconsin.
So when I was in Greece, they were pointing out, you know how many Greek islands there are?
No, you told us.
6,000, right? One of them is inhabited only by one person, and she's apparently one of the richest people on the planet.
Oh, that's cool.
That's what we were told.
And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact, and I'll just have to make it a quickie. If you're over 50, the world population has doubled in your lifetime. Doubled.
Wow.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
It. Mark's still thinking, but we got to go.
Well, no, that's astounding when you think about it.
Yes.
It's crazy. All right, thank you. That's wrapping up a Tuesday edition of Sue's News. Brian Pink from Los Angeles highlighting a boondoggle out there and some, you know, really, really high wages for hotel workers, which is going to conflict with the Olympics. That's coming up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And I gotta circle back to the sheriff story, Alfred Montgomery and his new $60,000 SUV. And then there's, you know, movement in Jeff City during the special session. I'll give you one example. You had an original number in Mike Kehoe's, you know, ask for the lawmakers in this session for $25 million in relief for tornado victims. And a lot of people said, no, that's not enough. Well, with all the wheeling and dealing and the incentives for the Chiefs and the Royals, that number landed at $100 million. Now, ooh. I'd make the case that this is where government should play a role, but then how do you track all the money, right? How do you make sure that how do you make sure the people who really need the money should get the money? But let's take us out to Los Angeles right now. And Brian Ping, who's a great friend of the program, he is a native St. Louisan. He's at KNX in Los Angeles. They have some nutty things going on with wages and high-speed rail. Brian, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we have the Dodgers coming to town this weekend. The Cardinals are in the middle of a doubleheader this afternoon, but the Dodgers coming this weekend. I mean, they're red hot. You got Ohtani that's now, I think he's even doing a little pitching on the mound for the first time. So is it Dodger mania in Los Angeles outside of all the other craziness?
Oh, yeah. You know, they just keep rolling. And I was just there a couple nights ago with the Mets in town. The Yankees were here the weekend before. So it's a big marquee homestand they're going through right now. And there's definitely a buzz. I mean, they're really cooking and they're in first place in the West, but it's a tough division. And I think they got another shot this year. I really do.
Have you been tracking our Cardinals? Because as you probably know, you know, we were very pessimistic heading into the season. We didn't start off very hot, but then they got into this rhythm. They become a very fun team to watch, kind of on a little bit of a slide right now. The big issue, Brian, I don't know if you've seen the visuals of this, but, you know, you're used to seeing a very, very crowded Busch Stadium, right? Full stands, if not full stands, pretty full stands. It's been a little jarring to look at the stadium because the fans were kind of sending a message here a couple of months ago after last season, and I'm not sure they're completely all in yet, but the team is making it worth watching for sure.
Yeah, I do watch them. I have the MLB.TV, so I stream them, and you're right. It's a much different era these days, seeing all those empty red seats, and I just wonder if it's because, you know, they are waiting for more buy-in from ownership. You'll see what they do at the deadline, whether they're ready to commit to a big name. But I really admire the Cardinals' young core and how they've really come together and have made things exciting. I mean, I don't know how far they're going to go, but at least it's fun to watch them again.
Well, that's it. Fred and I talk about this all the time because I'm such a baseball fan. You know, I guess if I'd have to rank the sports, I love the NFL, but maybe outside of college basketball, Major League Baseball is my favorite. And I love the Cardinals. When I moved here in 1980, late 1979, they certainly made it exciting for me in those first few years that I was in St. Louis. But we've talked about the last few years, and it's just unwatchable sometimes. And, you know, one of the things that happened that they've turned around is the defense. You know, we've always been kind of known for a team that has focused on the fundamentals, and they've gotten good on defense. You got Brendan Donovan, who should be an all-star. So they're fun to watch. And again, here's the big problem. You probably know this. The damn Cubs, Brian Ping, they're good.
I know. They haven't even played him this year, and I still think that I already think Pete Crow Armstrong's a pest. I already hate that guy, but he's Brendan Donovan, he absolutely should be an all-star. I think he's the best second baseman in the National League. It's just fun to watch this team again. It's just kind of like a different vibe there than there's been in the couple of years before, and I don't know how to explain that or what changed or what's different. But the team really kind of seemed to be in the doldrums for a couple of years, and I think the fans are still kind of in that mode. But it's really nice to have some hope again.
Yeah, well, they're above 500, and I would have bet against that about 2 months ago that they would be above 500 by a few games at this point. But let's talk about Los Angeles. So we hear a lot of this from afar. We know that you have the Olympics coming, but in the city of Los Angeles, they've increased the minimum wage for hotel workers to $22.50 per hour. Brian, you could check my math on any of this if I get this wrong. So that's effective this July, I think. And then there is a phase increase that will reach $30 by July of 2028. And then this is one that I was not familiar with. There's an $8.35 per hour healthcare payment that's going to be implemented in 2026. So am I getting the math on all that right?
Yeah, you are. And it's a step increases to what they're calling the Olympic wage, because of course this is to have it at that $30 level by the time the Olympics come here in that date you mentioned, July of 2028. And there is some pushback. The airlines, the hotel companies, they're trying to circulate a petition, trying to get signatures saying, hey, this is going to make that hotel stay more expensive. This is going to make that cheeseburger more expensive. So let's rein this in here. And so now the workers, and I spoke with the union leader just the other day for a story that I did, they're having to go back to work again. And not only to get this accomplished, which they did, they got it done at the city council, but now they have in a position where they have to defend it and fight against this petition that the companies are trying to circulate and get done to try to defeat. So this fight is not over. We knew there was going to be some resistance here about that, but yeah, it's a big payday, a big pay increase, $30 an hour. That's nothing to sneeze at, even when you consider inflation 3 years from now.
Brian Ping is with us. He's a St. Louis guy who is at KNX in Los Angeles. I'm glad that you mentioned the hotel. I'm sorry, not the hotel workers, but the airport workers, because that's something that I think I've overlooked here is a little bit. The requirement is for hotels with more than 60 rooms, and then companies doing business at LAX. What qualifies? Any kind of restaurants out there, or any kiosk or anything along those lines? That's where that pay increase.
Anybody that does business there in the terminals, and as you and I know, that captive pricing isn't cheap to begin with, but we can imagine that would go up as well.
So the vote on the council, I see, was like 12-3. Most people are saying, yeah, we're going to move forward with this. Aren't there some threats by the hotels saying, look, we're not going to be able to do this. We're not going to get rooms booked for this particular event, and this is going to put the ability to be fill that Olympic time here in a couple of years in jeopardy? Or what's the reality of how this is going to fall out?
It's a little far out to project what kind of money people are going to spend to come here in 2028, because a lot can happen between now and then. We are kind of starting to get a little inclination as to what it's going to be like for the World Cup next year, because LA has some games there, and there's still a lot of uncertainty. As the macro trends with international visitors, they're down, whether that's going to continue. But I would have to think that people that are earning this wage, they you know, might have some leverage here into where, you know, people are going to come for the Olympics worldwide, you know, barring, you know, anything unforeseen, some, you know, sort of major emergency.
Right.
They're going to fill the seats. They're going to fill the hotels. So that is some good bargaining power that they have there.
But in the meantime, I think the hotels are saying, look, we're going to tear up these room block agreements, which, you know, set aside rooms for the Olympics and the Paralympics. So this is an interesting situation to watch moving forward. There's no doubt about it. I don't know who wins, and maybe there's some sort of compromise, but that could get tricky moving forward. All right, let me ask you about a couple other things. You know, we had you on. You were our wildfire expert earlier in the year, which was, you know, devastating out there. We don't hear much here in the Midwest, as you might imagine, especially with a busy news cycle, Brian, about wildfire recovery. So can you tell us anything about that? How's that going? Are people getting their properties rebuilt? What's the status of some of that?
Yeah, it's kind of moved past the headline phase, Mark. And, yeah, it's not just outside of town, but here, too, it's not front of mind. Actually, the big story yesterday was Palisades High School, which, got evacuated, didn't really have a school anymore to go to. They had their graduation yesterday. It was at the Hollywood Bowl. And so it was really nice, kind of, you know, put a capper on what's been a very difficult year there. I think the big stories now are how it affects Southern California as a whole. As you know, PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, Highway 1, which goes up through the Palisades and Malibu and is that critical route, it is finally reopening to normal traffic. You don't have to be a resident anymore. But about the rebuild too, it's just coming along slowly but surely, and we are nowhere near any resolution as to the pending struggle to get things approved. I know there's a lot of homes where, you know, you have to start from scratch, but you have to go through a lot more hoops than you had to when these were built, you know, decades ago. And that's not going away. So that's definitely going to be something that we have to watch over these coming weeks and months. And the stories that come out of that, it's going to be interesting to see.
So then I got to touch on this, too, because there's new information about the, you know, big high-speed rail program. The Trump administration is threatening pulling the funding. If you go back, this is crazy, really, when you think about the numbers here. So the original budget was $33 billion, the estimate in 2008. And you're now roughly $100 billion more than the original estimate. It was supposed to be done in 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just a mismanagement disaster. And look, I really like high-speed rail. As a principal, you know, if we can get it to work. But these people running the show here, they have no clue what they're doing. And it is right to point out these failures, and it's right to question whether we should commit any more money than we already have, because it's just been an enormous money pit. And all I've ever seen is I drove through the Central Valley a couple of weeks ago up through, you know, Bakersfield and Fresno. I saw this big fancy-looking railroad bridge, but other than that, really nothing. All it is right now is, you know, building a rail to connect some farm towns, which is nice for them, but, you know, this thing's got to connect LA to San Francisco, otherwise there's no point to it. And, you know, it's a big undertaking, and there's absolutely no plan right now to do that.
I know that you're not back here in St. Louis that often, but are you familiar at all with the loop trolley that's in University City?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the reason I bring that up is that's actually a microcosm of what's happened in L.A. I mean, it's a much smaller boondoggle, but it's still a boondoggle. There's no doubt about that. All right, Brian Ping, it's great to catch up with you. I certainly hope as the Dodgers are here in St. Louis, you're going to be wearing your Redbird gear out there in the City of Angels. But I always, you know, always love to catch up with you, so I appreciate it.
I always do, and I really hope the Cardinal fans give a warm ovation to Tommy Edmond, because
they will.
I love that guy, and I wish the Cardinals could have kept him, but he's been so great in L.A., and I just hope that's a nice homecoming for
him
there.
I think it will be. We love him, we miss him. Believe me, I think that was part of the problem. The fans were not happy with some of those decisions. Ping, thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Mark.
Wow, what a blow up today on the platform that he owns by Elon Musk. Really, really breaking bad. You thought he broke bad a couple of days ago on President Trump. Well, today there were threats made. There were counter threats made. We're going to cover it all with David Strom from hotair.com at the top of the hour. And so this kind of, Ethan just found this this tweet where somebody said, "Libs and MAGA are both going to key my Tesla now, man." Gosh darn it, they said something else. I mean, think about the dynamics of this right now. I don't know who people are going to stick with. I really don't. I don't even know what to believe at this point. But here's a fascinating story. I will tell you this, that I love Jamila Nasheed. She's a former state senator. I did a profile on her on KMOX many years ago. And she offered me a lot of perspective on life because, you know, we want to make claims about the other side. in politics, and it's easy to do, and I do it certainly on a regular basis, and I get paid for that. But you do have to consider different perspectives. And with Jamila, she grew up in a housing project. There were people being killed around her when she was a kid. I mean, my daughter will never have to face that. My boy has never had to face that. It's a different life. And then, you know, people go down the wrong path. So she reached out to me and said, hey, and I don't remember the relationships that she had. And by the way, I think she's even changed her opinion now on Alfred Montgomery. But she said, hey, my friend, it might even be in a relation. Alfred Montgomery was running for sheriff. Remember, he came in. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he comes in, and I said, fair enough. You know, we'll do an interview with him. Because, by the way, I don't think the last sheriff was very good. But this guy, oh, my gosh. So the story today is the new sheriff, besieged by controversy and budget problems, is once again drawing scrutiny over purchases. The latest, we referenced this a little bit earlier, and I guess the other guy, this is what makes it worse. Do you know what the other guy used to drive?
Yes, an Impala.
Yeah, a 2018 Chevy Impala, but he's getting a brand new, maybe it's not because they have the 26s now, right?
Oh, well, that's...
No, I'm kidding. It's a 2025 Chevy Tahoe. They start, this is the thing about, you know, the starting point. $60,000 is the starting point.
That's the base.
You don't even have air conditioning for that, basically, right? If you start adding anything, it quickly gets up to the $80,000 range easily. That's about $23,000 more than the baseline Impala. It's and they describe it in the Post-Dispatch article. They sport V8 engines, an array of modern technology, and an endorsement from Car and Driver as a behemoth with plenty of room for hauling people and cargo. They're beautiful vehicles. I'm not a big, you know, Chevy guy. I've never had a Chevy, I don't think, outside of maybe when I was a kid, what my mom and dad were driving. But the Tahoes are nice, especially if you have a big family or if you're
sheriff. He doesn't have the money for this.
No!
And he was just in front of the Board of Alderman, was he not?
He
asking
is on
for
track.
A bigger budget.
Yes, of course. He's on track right now to blow past his budget by hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this is, you know, Donna Behringer is a good friend of the show. She was just elected as comptroller. She says in this, well, I'm looking into it, but she also says, look, there's limitations to what they can do because these agencies have autonomy, right?
Man.
So that's what happens. So in the story, they say officials say it's too late to fix the deficit by the end of the fiscal year, which is coming up here on June 30th. So money unspent in other departments will have to cover it instead. And that's what they do. They get to the end of the fiscal year and they say, oh, there's a pot of money that's sitting there. We have to use it. There's aldermen that are weighing in on this. They don't like it very much. He says, Alfred Montgomery, who is, I guess, speaking through a spokesperson now, somebody named Jack Gesicki, confirmed the purchase and said that the money for the vehicle was coming from the sheriff's discretionary funds. Here's what they say. He says, not general tax revenue. And even if the money could be spent to cover some of the deficit, he said, that's Montgomery's decision to make. The spokesperson says it's his prerogative. Now, this is the guy also that has been, this has really been rolling and building up. And the local media actually has done a pretty good job of reporting on this, both in the, I hate to say something nice about STL Today, but Channel 4 and Channel 5, I've seen reports as well on Fox. He's ordered the handcuffing of a top jail official. He was sued because, I don't know if you remember this one, he told a deputy to roll golden dice for his job. He also picked up his kids from school with the help of a deputy. But really, the thing that's drawing all the attention to him is the money. I mean, you can criticize all that stuff. It's a clown show right now. So you have $500,000. One of the things that happened under his predecessor is, you know, he decides, and this is what happens. He comes in, he's the new sheriff in town, literally. He pushes a bunch of people out that were there in that office for a long time. That, in and of itself, they say, costs $500,000.
Jeez.
When we were getting ready for the roundtable last week, Jane and I were in here, Gene Evans, and we started talking about this guy. It did not come up on the roundtable, right? But they told me he hired a bunch of lobbyists. I think the number is eight lobbyists. And he also purchased $12,000 worth of used golf carts. Well, hey, at least they were used, though, right? We should give him some credit for that.
Help me out. What does he need lobbyists for?
That's a very good question. Will you remind me to bring it up on the roundtable
tomorrow?
Jane will be here along with the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower, Jeff Smith. Look, let's face it. Jeff and Jane, they are lobbyists. So she showed me a screen capture because this is all public. You know, when you hire lobbyists, it goes right to the public record and you keep track of it. Other lobbyists, everyone can see it. And I asked that question. And I think the answer that Jane gave me was, well, because he can do it. I have no idea what any of that is all about. It is kind of a microcosm of what happens in Washington, though, isn't it? The fight between Elon and Donald J. Trump really heated up this afternoon. David Strom from HotAir.com weighs in next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.